you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to James chapter number 3. And James chapter number 3. All the Bible has to be preached. Even the things that I don't feel like are exciting, I have to preach all of the Bible. And I only have so much time, maybe a little bit of time left that I can preach. And I want to preach to you as much as I possibly can. I wish y'all would come on Wednesday night, going chapter by chapter through the book of Genesis. And I tried to cover a chapter last week and it didn't get it done. But next Wednesday night will be chapter number 4 of the book of Genesis, and I plan to cover all of it. You need to get a good foundation in the book of Genesis. I sure would like to see all of you folks come. We're just taking it verse by verse and reading it and making comments on it, and it would help you. The Bible will help you. Nobody is exempt from the Bible. I'm not exempt from obeying the Bible. Nobody is. A lot of times people think, well, I'm a special case. I'm a special case. No, you're not a special case. I'm not a special case. I need the Bible, and I need to obey the Bible. Whatever God says, God knows more than I do, and so I need to obey what He says. No matter who we are, we all need the Bible, and if we'll follow the Bible, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. Keep you out of a lot of trouble, keep you from a lot of heartaches. You know, a lot of times I could say a lot of things about this, but I better not. But a lot of times people think that they're missing out on something. I know that because that's what I did. That I'm missing out on some stuff, and so I'm going to try this out, I'm going to try that out. Brother, let me tell you something. If it's outside the bounds of the Bible, it's going to bring you nothing but heartache. It's going to bring you nothing but trouble. It might even cost your life. Who knows? Bible says the wages of sin is death. Bible says Romans chapter 8, verse number 13, you live after the flesh, you're going to die. And people get outside the Bible and don't want to live after the flesh because they think they're missing out on something. You're just missing out on a bunch of trouble, and you're missing out on a bunch of heartaches. You're missing out. Who knows what you're going to lose? Brother, you can lose everything in this world. If you're saved and you're a Christian, you can't lose your salvation. The devil can't get your soul, but he can get everything else. He can get everything else. He can get it from you if God lets him do it. The devil is bound by what God allows him to do. But he can take everything else you got. He can take your bank account. He can take your car. He can take your family. He can take your health. He can take all of that if God allows him to do so. So see, if you get outside the bounds of the Bible, outside the bounds of what God has said, then it's nothing but trouble, nothing but heartaches. I know I've been there. All that kind of stuff. This morning I have to preach to you about the tongue, the power of words. That's not a very exciting subject to me, you know. But I have to get it for you because I'm trying to go through the book of James, and it's right there. So if you'll look in James chapter number 3, let's read the first 12 verses. James chapter number 3, verse number 1. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. By the way, let me back up there in verse number 1. Many masters. Keep in mind the word masters. We're going to come back to it a little bit later. Verse number 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No, it doesn't. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? No, it doesn't. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? The idea is there that the tongue does. The tongue does bless and curse out of the same mouth, but yet these other things do not. So we're talking this morning about the power of words or the power of the tongue. And there's so much about it in the Bible, but you know, we just read over it most of the time. I do, and think not a whole lot about it because it's such a common thing. So we won't talk about that for a few minutes this morning. I hope I can get something out for you to be a help to you and be a blessing to you. So let us pray. Father, we come to thy throne of grace. And we thank you, Lord, for this morning, for your watch care over us for another week, God. Thank you for the health that we have. Thank you for those who've come. And I pray, Father, that the words of God will help them this morning and be a blessing to them. I pray the Spirit of God would help me bring to my mind the scriptures, thoughts, and illustrations that would be helpful today, Lord. I'm totally inadequate, and I pray for your help, God, and bless your people, I pray. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter number 3 there, it's about our tongue. The tongue is what we use to form words. You ever try to talk without, you know, your tongue? You know, or try to talk with your tongue tied or something? When I was in the Army, I had a first sergeant. His name was Sergeant McGinnis. I believe his problem was that he was tongue-tied. I hope that doesn't offend anybody or anything. If you know somebody like that, or I don't know anything. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but he would, you know, he'd talk to us, you know, first sergeant. You know, that's three stripes up, three stripes down with a diamond in the middle. And he would talk to us, you know, and everybody would kind of laugh at him because he had trouble talking. But it's hard to talk without your tongue. It is said that people speak in a lifetime between 60 million and 100 million words. 60 and 100 million words. The women are on the top side and the men are on the bottom side. I think. I'm sure that's not true about everybody, but it's just a guess, you know. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 37, he said, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified." If you ever thought your words were important, God keeps track of our words. By thy words thou shalt be justified. That's what Jesus said. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned, what you say. You see, because what you say is an expression of what's in your heart, the words that come out of your mouth. Our words are recorded, and we see one of these days God's going to take people. I think it's good for people to say what they believe. You take, for instance, like atheists. People want to shut up atheists. I don't want to shut them up. Let them go ahead and talk. One of these days, God's going to take people, everybody, and people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, atheists or whatever, God's going to take their own words, and he's going to use those words, see, to judge them. They're going to be judged by what they said. God's going to say, look here, back here on October 29th, the year 2017, you said this right here. And when God gets through with them, then they will agree with God. Yes, I need to go to hell. You see, if they're not saved. You see, our words come out of our heart. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 and 10, he says this. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how you get saved. Your words, what you say, is an expression of what is found in our heart. We hear words all day long, every, you know, from daylight till dark, time you get up, time you go to bed, you hear words. And then when, I guess, you dream at night, you know, you hear some other words. Now, the whole world is run on words. News people in what is called the news media, you know, they give you words. And they give you what they want you to hear. See, I don't trust them myself. I don't trust any of them. I think a lot of them are just liars, and they slant the news one way or the other, see. Amen? That's what I think. I don't know what you think about it, but they call that news, you see. Wars are caused by words. Wars are caused by words. Right now, North Korea over there is saying a lot of big things, you know. And then Trump, he's saying a lot of big things. They're going back and forth with words. And wars are caused by words, by both sides can be talking big, and some of them can back up the words and some can't, you see. So words are important. God gave us people. He gave us the ability to speak and to understand words. Understanding and speaking words, that is one of the things that sets us apart from animals. In 1,000 years, or 1 million years, I should say, animals will still be animals and people will still be people. Animals are not going to learn to talk. It doesn't matter if it's 1 million years, 1,000 years, or 10 million years, they're not going to learn to talk. Every once in a while, you might have a dog or a cat or something, and they might be able to understand one word, you see. My wife's got this little old dog named Molly, you know, and she knows a few little things that you tell her, see. And you know, you talk to your animals and all that kind of stuff, and I don't know. I think it's probably strange about, I've always wondered, what do they hear? Because, see, I go out in my cow lot and I talk to my cows. You know, and all that kind of stuff. But it's you always wonder what does it sound like to them, you see? But the fact that people can understand and speak words, isn't this exciting stuff? Man, this is good stuff. The fact that people can understand words and speak words, you know, that sets them apart from the animal, from animals. And the evolutionists, they'll never get over that. They'll never have an answer for that, you know. They never can. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3, the first words that are recorded, God said in verse number 3, He said in verse number 1, He said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's verse 2. But verse number 3 said, and God said 3 words. Let there be, 4 words. Let there be light. That's the first words that God is, you know, it's recorded that God said. And 9 times in the book of Genesis, it's recorded in 31 verses. 9 times it is recorded there. And God said, you know how everything came into being? God spoke it. And when God speaks it, it comes into existence, you see. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God divided the darkness from the light. It wasn't the sun. It wasn't the sun either, by the way. For those of you who didn't come on Wednesday night, it wasn't the sun. It was just light from God Himself. You know what happened whenever you got saved? God shined some light into your heart, into your darkened soul. God shined light into your heart. It's that same light that shined upon the earth and divided the darkness from the light in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 3. You see, so God said, God speaks, and God made us like He made Himself. You see, God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He made us like Himself with a body, a soul, and a spirit. And He gave us the ability to speak like He gave, you know, like He had. And so that sets us apart there. You notice in the context. You'll notice in the context, verse number 1 and verse number 2, it talks about the offense of the tongue. Look at verse number 1. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." I'm going to talk to you about master, what that master is right there a little bit later, but we'll say a little bit about it right now. If you're a master is like a master builder, or a schoolmaster, like a principal, a ship master. In the Bible, it has a master of assemblies. That's somebody who's in charge of something. A master of assemblies that we're going to talk about a little later on is like a pastor, a preacher, or a teacher. See, and if you're a master, you're in charge of something. You're over something. Then. There are more things that you can be condemned or you can be judged for. See, he says there, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." So there's more things that you can be condemned for or judged for, things that can go wrong. Notice he says you shall receive the greater condemnation. But he says in verse number 2, look at that. He says, "For in many things we offend all." You see, people who are masters, they talk more. They talk more. They talk to people more. He said, and you have more of an opportunity to offend people. You know what it means to offend people. You know, have you ever offended anybody? Man, I'll tell you what I have. I have offended people. Sometimes it was unnecessary, sometimes it wasn't. You see, we should not be offended by the Word of God, by the Bible. See, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you love God and you love the Bible and you hear what God says, then we should not be offended. You know, our feelings should not be hurt. You know, we shouldn't get upset about it, being offended. See, a lot of people, whenever they come to church, I had a lady one time, and she came to church one time, and I went over to see her and talked to her, and somebody else was with me, and she, the first thing she wanted me to hear, and I don't know why she thought it was necessary to tell me this, but she said, "I'm just a plain spoken. I'm real plain spoken now. I just say what's on my heart." I said, "Well, okay, that's fine. I don't mind, you know." That's what she told me. She thought that was necessary to tell me that. Well, sometimes I preach kind of plain too, you know. And so whenever she came to church, well, I did. I preached real plain. And guess what? She didn't like that. Now, isn't that strange that she's plain spoken and she wanted me to know that? But if the preacher gets up and he's plain spoken, you know, then she's offended about it. I'm not coming back. I don't want to hear that, you see. Look, folks, whenever you come to church, I mean, church is maybe just one thing. People probably don't get offended at work, but they get offended at church. Isn't that strange? They don't get offended at work, or do they get offended at home or something, but to come to church, they get offended. Look, folks, you'll understand when I say this, don't be so thin-skinned. Y'all understand that, don't you? Don't be so thin-skinned. You see, don't you like that word, thin-skinned? Look, some people come to church and they just weren't very friendly to me. They just weren't very friendly to me. I'm just not going back. Well, is that the reason you came to church? Just because somebody wasn't, you know, to see how friendly some... Maybe you weren't friendly to them. I'm not talking to you folks because you're here. But maybe you weren't friendly to them. Maybe they needed somebody to be friendly to them, but you weren't friendly to them, see? You see, or maybe they had a bad day. Or maybe they're just like me. Maybe they just frown a lot, you know. Amen? Don't come to church for that. Don't come to church for that. You come to church to worship God, you know. Amen. And somebody, look, people are just people. People are just people. They're not going to be perfect. All of us, everybody's going to make mistakes. So don't be thin-skinned. You know, don't be, you know, if everybody... Don't wear your feelings on your sleeve. Don't have a chip on your shoulder. See, and just wait for somebody to knock it off. You see, he says there, talking about the masters, in many things we offend all. Well, don't offend anybody. You know, you see, this is something for me. I have to learn this. I used to be really bad about it, but I'm learning. I'm getting better. As I get older, I'm nicer than I used to be. You see, am I not, Nikki? Am I nicer than I used to be? Honey, am I nicer than I used to be? At least here. At least here at church, you see. You see, you get older and you hopefully you learn things. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. Maybe somebody just said it the wrong way or they looked at you the wrong way. Don't come to church for that kind of stuff. Try to be a blessing to other people. You know, maybe they need somebody to be a blessing to them, but you were looking for them to be, you know, to look at you or treat you a certain way, and they didn't do it. They didn't do it. And maybe they needed you to treat them in a good way, see? So try to be the one to help somebody. You have a ministry, you know. Everybody has a ministry, not just the preacher. Get up here. And you watch him exercise his gift every Sunday morning. How about you taking part in it too? See, how about you being a blessing to other people whenever you come? Go around and try to be as much help and as much of a blessing and a lifter up as you possibly can. See, we don't want to spend all our morning on that. I'm just going through the verses here just a little bit for you. But he said in verse number 2, "For in many things we offend all. If any man not offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." See, so we should not offend if at all possible. We should not allow, we shouldn't worry about the word of God. We should not be offended by the Word of God. Another thing, we'll move on down a little bit there. In verse number 3, 4, and 5, it talks about the tongue is such a small thing, but yet it can start such a great fire. Verse number 3 says, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and it talks about that. Verse number 4 gives the illustration of a ship. Just the ship is guided by just a small thing, you know. And it talks about that. He says in verse number 5, even so, the tongue, it's a little member, but it boasts great things. See, sound like politician, doesn't it? Boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. See, you can take what he's talking about, your tongue can start a great fire. You know, you can take this little bitty match right here, this little bitty paper match. It's got that stuff on the end that'll burn. You can go to the right place in the woods or somewhere, a forest or some place like that. If it's dry, and you can take that one little bitty match and you can strike it, and you can burn down acres and acres and acres. You can cause millions and millions of dollars. It starts in a little bit of kindling. A little place there where there's some kindling wood, you see, and that's what the tongue is. The tongue can it's like striking a little bitty match, and it burn up just acres and acres and acres of stuff. See, that's the way the tongue is. So he's telling us here about our tongue. verse number 7 and 8, he says the tongue can no man tame. He said in verse number 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, hath been tamed of mankind. But look what he says, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Just can't tame that tongue. I guess maybe God could tame it, but we can't tame it. I need you to look up scripture for me. Look in Proverbs chapter number 17. Look in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 27. Proverbs 17 and verse number 27. Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs 17, 27. All right? Proverbs 17 and verse number 27. All right, it says in Proverbs 17, 27, says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Verse number 28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. See, what he says there is if a man was a fool, if he just kept his mouth shut, nobody would know about it. He'd be counted a wise man. A lot of times when people don't talk very much, I don't know where I got that, but I guess I got it from my daddy, and he must have got it from his daddy, you know. Some of my kids picked it up, and some of them didn't. Now, see, Nicole there, she talks quite a bit, but Jeff, he doesn't talk very much. He doesn't talk very much. I wonder where that'll go. I bet Michael's going to be just like his dad, see, and the girls, you see. Well, see, sometimes people look at you, if you don't talk a whole lot, they look at you kind of strange. What's the matter with him? What's the matter with him? He didn't talk very much. Look, whenever Jesus was on the cross, you know what he did? Jesus Christ was on the cross. He spoke seven times, but he didn't carry on a big conversation. All he said was, number one, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's all he said. He didn't carry on a conversation. He just spoke seven times. He said about the thief on the cross, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's all he said. He said about his mother down there, he said, woman, behold, Mary, never did call her Mary, never did call her mother, he called her woman. Woman, behold thy son, you see. He said that. And then he said, talk to God. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said that. That'd be about number 4 or 5. And then he said, I thirst. I'm thirsty. Just two words, I thirst. And then he said, next to the last, he said, it is finished. Three words. And I get them mixed up, but I think I got it right. He said the last thing he ever said, he said this. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Now that's what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said on the cross. He spoke seven times, you see. So he said, no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly, full of deadly poison. He gives some illustrations at the last part of that. He said our tongue, bad stuff comes out of it and good stuff comes out of it. It ought not to be that way, because a fountain only sends out good stuff, you see. A tree, you only get figs off of a fig tree. You don't get something else, you know. And so that's some things about the tongue there. If you're still in Proverbs, turn back over there to Proverbs and turn to Proverbs chapter number 6. There's so many things we could look at, but I try to keep it fairly interesting for you. Turn in Proverbs chapter number 6 and look in verse number 17. Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse number 17. Here's the Bible says, these are 6 things that the Lord hates. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. I'm in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16. Look at verse number 17. It says, a proud look and a lying tongue. See, that's what people can do with their tongue, is lie. Look in verse number 19. Here's things that God hates. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. See, that's things that people can do with their tongue. Turn on over to chapter number 7 and look in verse number 21. Proverbs 7 and verse number 21. It says in verse number 21, with her, talking about this strange woman up here, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. See, they're talking about a foolish young man up here and a strange woman. And that strange woman in the Bible is a picture of the world. Turn on over in your Bibles to chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1 to 4, here's what it says. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Verse number 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Let me say this before I go on any further there, especially to young people. If you get around somebody and they have a foul mouth, you should stay away from them. That's one of the first things that I notice whenever I'm around somebody or somebody that I've never met. If you meet somebody and if they start spouting out cuss words or something like that, man, I'm going to run from them. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to hear it. There's enough bad things without somebody spouting off cuss words and letting it go in your ear. See, whenever you hear those things, they go in your ear and they go down into your heart. And they will affect you if you listen to that stuff, see, all day long. People are all out there in the world every day. And you're going to hear things. And whatever you hear is going to affect you. So if you hear somebody, and you know, if you're at school or wherever you are, and you hear somebody using foul, ungodly language, you need to stay away from that kind of person, see. Don't let that stuff go in your ears, because what you goes in your ears, it's going to go down into your heart. It's going to affect you. See, I don't go around schools and things like that, so I don't know what's going on. I mean, I know how it was when I was a kid. See, I went to school too. It was a long time ago, but see, you know, it's just what. See, whenever people say those kinds of things, if they have a dirty mouth, let me tell you something, folks. They got a dirty heart. If anybody has that kind of problem, see, they need to just pray to God and ask God to forgive you of the words that come out of her mouth, you see, and God will forgive you. Amen? So in Proverbs chapter number 15, he said, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. A lot of things people talk about, I call it drivel. It's not worth talking about. Now, I would love to sit down and just talk with people about the Bible all the time. But if I don't want to talk about that, then a lot of times I don't really have much to say. You see? You want to talk about the Bible? We want to talk about things in the Bible? Then I'd love to talk about that. But don't want to talk about that. Just most of the time, the other stuff is just drivel. There's a guy by the name of John Wesley. He's the founder of the Methodist Church. How many of y'all have heard of John Wesley? He's the founder of the Methodist Church. He would only talk 15 minutes to somebody, and he said after 15 minutes it gets into sin, and he wouldn't talk any more than 15 minutes to any one person. Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And look what it says in verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. Let me see if I've got one or two more for you. Look over to the next chapter, chapter 16 and verse number 24. Chapter 16 and verse number 24, it says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Look in the next chapter. Oh, I already read that for you. Chapter 17, and verse number 28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. See, now folks, listen. Everybody can use their tongue for whatever they want to. You can use your tongue any way that you want to, but let me just give you this. I believe that we ought to use our tongue, and I'm going to give you four things right here, and I have to go through them real quickly. Number one, we should use our tongue for praise. That is, for singing. Everybody look this way. We're finished looking up scriptures in the Bible, except one more. I got one more for you in a little bit. Praise, just singing, just singing the songs of God is worth coming to church for. There's something about whenever you gather together about singing the songs of God. And that's why I picked out that song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. So whenever you come to church, folks, don't sing half-heartedly. Don't sing half-heartedly. We don't have to sing good, but sing, do the best you can, man. Lift up your voice and sing, like I said, just like Jesus Christ was sitting there. So we should lift up, I mean, and by the way, folks, you can sing when you're at home too. You don't have to be at church, you can sing at home. You can sing when you're driving down the street. Sing. Sing to the Lord. Did you know that the devil has perverted music? He has perverted music. We're not going to have any perverted rock and roll music in the church. I don't care if they call it contemporary Christian. I'll tell you what, it's just about as contemporary rock and roll Christian music is just about as scriptural as something like Santa Claus or Easter eggs or all that kind of junk, you see. That's all. Look here. The devil has perverted music. If you were to look up in Ezekiel chapter 28, I think it's about verse number 14, the devil, his voice is like a pipe organ. God gave him a voice like a pipe organ. He was heaven's music director. But when he fell and went against God, he perverted everything. And so he has perverted the airwaves, the music. He perverts it. And music will cause people to do things they would not ever do. And if you, young people, or anybody else, you think you're going to get away with it? You listen to rock music or some other kind of trashy stuff all week, it's going to go in your heart and it's going to affect you. I can see it on people's faces. You can see things on people's faces. Don't listen to that kind of trash. Fill your mind with good things. Fill your mind with good things. It goes into your heart. You see, if you spend all week listening to a bunch of junk and you come in church here, and you're here for 1 hour, that ain't near enough. That's why we have church four times a week. We have 4 hours, you see, which is not very much. And some of y'all, you only come in for one little hour, you don't get much. It's not enough to counteract all the trash that you're going to get during the week. You know, you sit there and you're gonna watch television for a few hours every day. A bunch of stuff's going in your head. But you come to church for 1 hour, you get a little bit. We're glad for that. We're glad for that. See, so you should, number one, we should use our words for praise. Number two, we should use our words for prayer. You see, the Bible, God has given us the great privilege to come before Him and to ask Him for things. We can come to His throne of grace and we can ask Him for mercy and we can find grace to help us in time of need. To pray. And none of us ever get to the place where we don't need that. And so we should use our words for praise and for prayer. And number three, I want to do this. We want to use our words for preaching. for preaching. I want you to look up a verse of scripture with me, please. You don't need to go, I don't think you'll need to go back to James, but Ecclesiastes. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. You're in Proverbs, you just go to the next book, it's Ecclesiastes, it'll be chapter number 12. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. And it'll be verse number 10 and verse number 11. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. And look in verse number 10. It says, in verse number 10, it says, the preacher sought to hear out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. All right, now in this portion of Scripture, it's the words of God are called the words of truth, and they're called the words of the wise. Look at verse number 11. It says, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd, the shepherd there being the Lord. He said, the words of the wise, that'd be the words that you get out of this book right here. The words of the wise are as goads. I want you to hear this now. It says, when the preacher gets up to preach and he preaches to you the words of the wise, they're like goads, the words are. And they're like nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. The masters of assembly, that's the preacher that preaches in the assembly. Preacher, pastor, teacher. And he's supposed to fasten nails for people to grab onto, you see. He said, the words of the wise are as goads. I was telling the folks in Sunday school, this is my goad that I use out in my cow pen. It's supposed to have it's not sharp, but a real goad is like a sharp pointed instrument. It can be metal, wood, or anything. It's something that you stick with, you see. You stick somebody with it to move them, to wake them up, you see. It's a goad. He said, the words of the wise, see. The words that you find in the book there, they're like goads. And whenever they're preached, it's like sticking somebody. They're pricking somebody, cause you to move, cause you to wake up, cause you to do something. See, it's a goad. A goad can be an instrument of war, you see. In the Bible, I think it's Judges chapter 3 and verse number 31. Somebody got killed with a goad. But he said the words of God, see, the preacher's supposed to get up and preach. And those words that he's preaching, they're like goads. And they stick us. And they move us, as opposed to anyway. They wake us up, you see, just like a goad would. So he says there in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 11, Ecclesiastes 12 verse, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. You see, whenever the preacher preaches, he's like this. Whenever the words that he preaches, they're like the truths that are found in the Bible. They're supposed to be like nails. And his preaching is like this, like he's pounding a nail into the side of something. And so that whenever people hear it, they can grab onto it, see. They can grab onto that nail and it gives them something to hang on to, see. That nail is like a truth. You see, because when you're out in the world, the world is like this. The world is like a river, a river of trash. And it's trying to sweep everybody along, but you hear something. You hear some truth. And so you reach out and you grab onto that truth, you see. You grab onto that nail, you see. And those words of truth that are found in the Bible, the words of the wise and the words of truth, they're like nails that are hanging up there and you're supposed to grab onto them. But see, if you don't come, then you don't know what the nail is. You don't know where the nail is. See, in the world is every week, the world is like trying to sweep people down, trying to carry them off, you see. But you see that nail up there and you grab onto that nail, you see. That nail is the truth. It's the words of God that's been put up there by the masters of assembly. He preached and he pounded it in with a hammer by preaching, and they grabbed onto it. They could give you something to grab onto and hold on to it so you won't be swept away by the world and all the trash, you see, that's going downstream. Amen? You see that? He says, the words of the wise are as goads, you see. The words of the wise are as goads, and they stick us. And they wake us up, and they're like nails fastened by the masters of assembly. The masters of assembly, the preacher, pastor, teacher, whoever, the masters of assembly, which are given by from one shepherd. That one shepherd is the Lord, see. We got those words from him. That's where this book came from. That's where these words came from, is from God, see. And they're like nails that up there. And you grab onto those nails. You get something to grab onto so the world will not sweep you away, see. And those nails would be like this. They'd be like, have faith in God. And that gives you something to grab onto, see. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's something you grab onto. You can be saved, see. That's like Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, which says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you hear that? You grab onto that nail, you see. That's like 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. That's a nail. You grab onto that nail, see. You see, that's like Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy. You can come to God and get mercy. You grab onto that nail, you see. Amen. You see, so we should use our voice, words as for praise and prayer and for preaching. And last, but we should use it for the profit of others. Profit of others. Let me look up one scripture with me. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29. I could quote it for you, but it says, use your words for profit of other people. It said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. See, so use your words for the profit of other people. See, whenever you talk to people, the Bible says you're ministering to them. You're ministering grace to them, you see. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I mean, I've had enough corrupt communication out of my mouth to last a whole lifetime. I don't need any more. I don't need any more, see. But use your words to profit and bless other people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.